Mr. Roberts, Reel 5. Now, we've got to the point where you were at Milagan Maud camp, the naval POW camp, and you've been moved into the hut from which the tunnel was being dug.
Yeah.
That's the point you were making. And so what happened next, then?
Well, these moles used to come round.
What do you mean by moles? You mean Germans?
Used to go underneath the hut. And this time they come round, and they discovered our thingy, because they had these were in the ground and things.
They prodded into the ground with thin poles. And,
And I said, they moved us from there. They moved us. Well, there were some injuries, some wounded, you know. He used to get dressed every day. He used to come round.
Did they punish you at all?
Not to my knowledge.
Now, how were your legs? I mean, you'd picked up some slight trouble.
Yeah, it's okay. It went okay.
They were just flesh wounds, were they?
Mm.
Just flesh wounds.
Yeah. Nothing startling, like.
So what happened after that? After they discovered the tunnel, what was the next thing?
They moved one half of us straight away.
Where to?
Well, they went to another camp.
But you stayed at Milag?
They were at Malag and Milag.
Malag, sorry.
No, we didn't go to that one. That was for seamen, merchant seamen.
I thought you said you were at Malag and Milag.
Yes. For not for any length of time.
Was that where the tunnel was?
Yes. Yeah.
So were you sent away with the other? No,
I was left behind because I had my leg, you know. But anyway, they went over and left us. We used to do a bit of bathroom with the jetty fellas.
What was the food like at the Marlow camp?
Well, you were always hungry, obviously. Good job we had the Red Cross. We used to get Red Cross parcels.
So what did you get off the Germans? What food would you get off
them? Oh, yeah. Used to get a loaf. Wait a minute, while I'm sitting on. Get a loaf off the Germans. You had to divide it amongst six. You had to have a knife. This was a... it worked to a thou. And your good days, you done six. Who'll get the crust? Because you're running out of bread, you know, aren't you? So you used to have a team. You said you and I and our Peter now, and you. Then the next day it was seven. The thing was smaller. The loaf was smaller. And then you used to have this cable of soup. You used to have to go up to the kitchen, where they were all English blokes, they were, in the kitchens. And you get this big kibble soup.
What was the soup like? What type of soup?
It was terrible. But it was good. Because you were hungry.
What was it? Vegetable soup or what? Or?
It was like a Swede soup. You went there and you went to the toilet. That's it. But then the racket.
How many times a day would you get that, the bread and the soup? Or was it just once?
Oh, you only get one.
And did you get any other food from the Germans?
We didn't get much off Germans.
What about the Red Cross parcels?
Well, they were good. Oh, why?
What was in them?
They were very good, yeah. Tins of biscuits, tin of bacon, egg, egg powder, meat roll. It all depends what you have, because you get a Canadian one. You got a Canadian food parcel, Red Cross parcel. They were good.
They were better, were they?
In some respects, they all had their little, you know, they had, Canadians had the milk powder and coffee and cigarettes. If you had enough cigarettes, you could have bought yourself out of Germans. But, you see, when we're raiding in Germany, they say that there is a town where the old Red Cross parcels were. I said, you can't get any, you can't get through now because the trains are not running. But then we followed them.
Hang on, that was a Red Cross. You mentioned that you could bribe the guards with cigarettes. Tell me a bit about sort of bartering and...
Bartering, yeah. Well, some of the older soldiers are all right. The others that were the bloody Nazis, they were. But the older soldiers who've been in the previous war, 1418, they used to say, any cigarette. He used to say, cigarette and brood for bread. Brood. So he'd fetch you some bread and you give him some cigarettes. And then he'd fetch you some eggs, a couple of eggs. Or if they go mad over coffee, she'd bring it. We had a little tins of coffee in our parcel sometimes. He said, given that, we get some eggs. And gradually they built up. The wide boys used to have like a bring and buy sale. See, I'd have a tin of oats, and he'd have a table laid out, say, of rolls, you know, meatloaf, and say, what do you want with this? I'll swap you this tin of oats with the meatloaf. He used to barter.
Inside, not just with the Germans, but inside the camp.
Germans, there's not only used to barter with Germans, but you used to be careful with the Germans.
So how long were you in Marlag and Milad?
Well, it was a funny thing about Marlag and Milad. A mate of mine, he'd been injured, and we went to this place called Lambsdorff. It was a big camp.
That was your next move? That was your next move?
Yeah, we went down into Lambsdorff when we were ready for travelling. The others...
Was that still in 1942 or was it into 1943?
Oh, after 1942.
Where would it be? 43 or 44?
Oh, well...
You're not sure?
1942. It could have been 1942. Yeah, 1942. Because one party, the commando lad, had gone on the working compounds and things. Went down to this Lambsdorff, and there was a big camp.
Did it have a number, like Stalag 8B or whatever?
Well, that was Stalag 8B. They changed it. It used to be called Lambsdorff, and then it was Stalag 8B, and then I don't know what it is, Stalag 344. But it was 8B.
Where was it? Was that it? Was that in Poland?
Poland.
What was that camp like?
They had these working parties that went out. And they used to try to get out in the winter. In so much that when you're in the main camp, it was bloody ice and snow and that. There were no eating at all. And if you could get yourself on a working party.
Well, let's have a look at the main camp. What was the main camp like? Because it was a very big camp.
Big camp. Yeah, divided into compounds, right? You know, the working compound, where you went down through there into the working, you know, and they put you into these working compounds. The RAF compound, all RAF. There's a...
Were there compounds for different nationalities?
Yes.
I'm thinking of Russian.
They were a nationalities compound where they had all different kinds of breeds. Different, you know. And then there was a Canadian compound. A RAF compound, didn't I? This 600 or 700 of different nationalities. In Indians, where they have the patty and things like that. Indians and then they had a sort of hospital in the camp where you could go and see a doctor. Your own doctor, really. And they were funny.
Now, what were conditions like there? Were they better or worse? You know, food and huts and the rest of it, how you were treated?
Well, it was like a small town. You know, you could... If you had the things, you could have every... You know.
Could you get...
Oh, yeah, there was a Red Cross compound. That's another one. There was another compound where all the cooks who worked in the kitchen. That was a racket, the racket compound. That.
Now, could you get between the compounds, or were you just confined to your one?
Oh no, you could get. It all depends. If they were on a search, you might say, "Come round 6 o'clock in the morning." Everybody out, house. And they searched all the block. And all the block there. See anyone who shouldn't be in. You know, people who misbehaved on a working party, sent in for...
Now, what about the working party? If you were sent on working party...
We sent on the working party. Some of them who were going to escape, they were sent on working parties as near the border as they could get. So they could, didn't have far to go. Well, they had 100 miles to go. We went on one. It was like a paper mill where you work... Where you worked, shift work. You worked round and round and round. Then we went back and we come out again. We went on chopping trees down. You had to do so many meters. In a day. He used to go to this working fella called Seidel, his name was Seidel, he's an old fella. We used to do woodwork, different woodwork. And you mix with the civvies, these would be some some bloody right ones, but there's some he always about a cigarette, any cigarettes for sweeteners. What do you call them sweeteners? Saccharines. You get some saccharine tablets off him and give him some cigarettes. The old fellow go to a farmer and get a load of spuds, he'd dump them in the cellar. And he said, you can get them, you can have them.
And what were the working parties like? Were they hard work?
Somewhere, yeah. They went down what they call the Groovy. That was a coal mine. Use the empty coal. Dig coal, empty it, put it in trucks, empty the trucks, fill the trucks.
Did you do that one?
I only done it once, I didn't do no more. And then we went to a working party where my mate broke his shoulder. He slipped on these iron, coming down these iron steps. He slipped and took him to the hospital. And it's only a small village hospital. And I used to go up. He used to go up and take him his parcel. And a Polish guard used to come. He was all right because he went Germans. He used to take me. We used to walk up. It was in Johannesburg. Like in Bavaria, something like that. We used to walk up to this hospital. And then the German fellas who were in there, when they seen us coming, like, they were getting ready to... He was, any cigaretting. They all bloody wanted cigarettes. I didn't smoke. Oh, but I used to give mine to Dick. Dick Wilcox, his name was. I said, yeah, I'll have your bar of chocolate. So, and then when he got over it, well, we went back, as I say, into the camp. And I says, well, you can't go out working. We see what's happening here.
Now, can I just ask, when you were on the working parties, was there any question of deliberate sabotage or going slow? One place we went to,
they were making, it was like, a wooden box, but they put some, I don't know what they put in. But it was a war effort, and we said we're not working on war. He said, "There, you'll be all right." I said, "Mugging off," and we're not making these things for Germany to throw at us. So we didn't stop there very long.
But did you actually do any sabotage, or was it minor sabotage? I mean, just deliberately going slow.
You didn't work. You didn't work so hard. You know. You had to work hard, or you didn't have to work hard, or you didn't do this. You didn't do that. Caused them all kinds of trouble.
Now, you were saying that after your friend had been injured, you were having this conversation after you got back to the main camp.
Oh, going back to the main camp. Right. So I said, well, what's it? Well, what main camp? We had the working compound. Well, everybody were in there. So we went there. I says, what's going on? Oh, he said, we have football matches. I says, well, what sort of football matches? Oh, well, they say England play Scotland, and England play Wales, and England play Ireland. He said, there's one on tonight, it's Irish. Oh, I said, I wouldn't mind that. He said, do you play football? I said, no, only a bit. Anyhow, it must have got out a bit. Because I went there was an Irish contingent, and the bloke who run the team, Paddy somebody, as we know, he said, "Do you play football, Al?" I said, "I've done a bit." I said, "Why?" He says, "Well, we're short." Well, if you're short, I'll play for you. Well, I played for this bloody... They were playing Wales or some town.
England? This was England or Ireland?
Ireland. And we're playing for Ireland. Well, after the game, you know, I mean, I was way above. And I said, "Bloody hell, Arnold," he says. He says, "You had to go his game, didn't you?" He says, "You play for us next time." I says, "Well, if it's all right." Well, they were saying, "Well, you're not playing bloody him. He's English. You can't play him." So anyway, I was in the working compound then, and they had a team. Not a bad team, a good team, because they used to keep all the good players out from going on working parties, so they played football for them. And that was called the Dead End Kids. And the other good team was in the Rackets compound, where they dwelt in all the food stuff, such soups, things like that, sandwiches, and then you didn't go out of camp there. You got a billet there, and you played football for them, and you're in the Rackets compound, so the Rackets. You got sugar for this and sugar for that, and some of the.
So you did. You transferred to the Rackets compound.
Hmm.
You transferred to that, did you?
I didn't play.
You didn't, sorry.
I was at Dead End Kids. And he was saying, Arnold, are you going to play for us then? I said, "Well, I've got to go on the working party." "Well, you know, we've got to go on the working party." I said, "No, but I've got two mates." I said, "No, I don't want them to go on the working party." "Oh, well, we don't know." "All right then." So the next stop was this fella who gave me the message to go and see Jimmy Dubry, the depot where Red Cross parcels, and they all had a fiddle on there. So I almost said, "Well, what are you going to do, Adam? What are you going to do? Are you going to play for them? Are you going to play for us?" These dead-end kids. Then there were some good players as such. I says, "Well, I'll play for you on one condition, that these other two don't go out to work." "Done," he says. "The Sergeant Major, done." So I used to go in, and we used to go up for soup, you know, to there. And I had a few commando lads and say, "Listen," I says, "you know when I'm going up for this soup, it's a big keble of soup. You put two wooden slots underneath, lift it up and come down." I says, "We come past these trees." I says, "You know, just be standing by them trees, you know." I says, "When I come by, two of us, me and Dick, carrying this keble of soup, dip your Dixie in. Boom. Boom." "Oh, I said, "We'd do that then." And then we'll get back to the camp and say, "What's happened to bloody soup, Adam?" I says, "Why?" I said, "It's only half full." I said, "Have you ever tried carrying a keble of soup over that rocky ground there? And it up and down and splashing about." But anyway, there were no more said.
So you were playing for the Dead End Kids?
And I played for the Dead End Kids.
What were the games like? Who were you playing? The other compounds?
Yeah, we were playing the other... Played the RAF. Played the RAF, played the depot. We played the Racket Compound. We played the Parachute Regiment. But we played all them. And they all wanted
to... Did you have a proper football, proper boots, proper kit?
Yeah, we didn't have proper boots. But we some of the cobblers knew us and used to make you a pair out of the army boot. They used to make a good job too. And then they came to internationals. They said, England played Scotland on Sunday. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff. So they had it down, and before 5 o'clock, the camp was empty, not of people, but of tables going up, getting a speck behind goal or at centre turtle. Tables when you finished, the bloody Germans used to come and watch. And there used to be, not money, but fags.
And you were playing for England this time?
I played for England then. I was captain.
What was the standard?
Eh?
What was the standard like, the internationals?
Oh, well, a lot of Liverpool lads in the camp and all. And you used to have these circus, well, not a circus, but... like a fairground atmosphere, where you had stalls, you know, and all the stalls were decorated.
But how good were the players, you know?
Oh, well, there were some fella called Jimmy Lovery, good player, on Wolves books. There was me, I was on Chesterfield's books. There was another outside left, he played, I think he was here at Cardiff, a Welsh lad. We had a Spanish goalkeeper in the Dead End Kids. But
and who won? Were there many internationals, and did he usually win, or was it...
Well,
did you win?
Yeah, it used to just go up, you know. All the lads were there.
But who won?
Oh, we used to win. Oh, well, I know when we played Scotland. Oof. Had some good players, Scotland did. Yeah. Oh, aye. We're in a runaway victory by any means. I felt sorry for Paddy. The Dutch, the Irishman, he said, "I first discovered you." I said, "Well, you won, you bloody watched." You know. I said, I was playing inside left. The lad out there, Raff, was playing outside left, and he was a no mark. You know. I said, "He's not an Irishman." Well, you got him in.
And how often would you play these matches? How often were you playing these matches?
Oh, you're playing more. You had 11-a-side pitch. You had 8-a-side pitch. Played every day.
So you didn't go on working parties anymore?
No, that was the condition.
And not your two friends,
and see, some of the good players, I didn't do it. Some of the good players get transferred. Silly, isn't it? Transferred to the depot. What are you going to the depot for? Well, it's Racket's compound. One of our mates went in a Racket's compound. He gets soup, sugar. It's a racket. The racket going on. That's why they called it the Racket's compound. You get blared. Are you on a loaf of bread? I say to this man, it may as well, why don't you get some bloody bread for us? Do you want a loaf of bread? Aye. How much you charge? so-and-so. We used to get these tins in the Red Cross parcel.